Thank you. Thank you. Can you be heard? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for inviting us here. Could I first start by telling a little story? It's an important story, so that the rest of the day can flow smoothly. A man went for an operation, and when he came out from the operation, he had 7 different instruments inside him, and they'd taken out the wrong organ. And when he asked why, they said, well, the surgeon kept getting telephone calls on his mobile and kept leaving the studio, the operating theatre, to answer the phone. So could I ask you all, if you have a mobile phone, please to turn it off so that we can get on with the session uninterrupted, and then when we have a break, you can actually switch your phones on and get the messages, because there is nothing more infuriating for a speaker than to be interrupted by mobile phones going off. So if I could ask people to do that, I'd be most grateful. If I could introduce myself, my name is David Moore. I'm one of Her Majesty's Inspectors of Schools. We work for an organisation which is called the Office for Standards in Education, Ofsted. The organisation has existed now for 10 years, but prior to that, we existed in another form, and there have been inspectors of schools in England for 150 years. So we are part of a long tradition. Ofsted is responsible in England for the regulation of inspections of all types of school. Now, when we say all types, in England, if 3 children are educated by one person, it constitutes a school, and it has to be inspected. We inspect nursery provision, which is from 2 years on, isn't it? 2+ years on, right the way through to teacher training. We inspect independent schools from the prestigious high schools such as Eton and Harrow, right through to anyone that sets up their own type of school. We inspect stage schools, we inspect the Royal Ballet School, we inspect everything. If it moves, we inspect it. If it doesn't move, we inspect it to find out why it doesn't move. That's our function. We are a non-ministerial department, and what that means is that we are not controlled by a government minister. We stand, as it were, aside of that, and we have to report without fear or favour on anything that we see. It doesn't matter whether ministers like it or not, the report gets published and they have to deal with the fallout of that report, because that's our function. We have been so successful that the government is now merging other inspectorates for adult education, for universities, for social care into our organisation. In the process of our history, we have inspected the 28,000 schools in the English school system at least twice in the last 10 years. So we have a huge database that tells us about the quality of education in every school in the country. And we are actually, as I understand, the only country in the world that has got that high level of inspection, and other countries are adopting our systems to develop their own. So our function is to regulate the quality of learning, because what we're concerned about is not the input measures, not how much money does a school have, but what do you do with the resources you get so that the children get a quality education. So we always look at outcomes. What's the outcome for the input? Is it effective? Out of that, we have to provide the government with what we call timely advice. So the government talks about proposing an initiative, and then they come and ask whether we think it is viable. And we have a discussion with them on the basis of the inspection evidence. So really, it doesn't matter what we personally feel about things. I might think a particular thing at a personal level is very good, but if the evidence says that that is not the case, it is not working in schools, then that is what we have to have the discussion on. Now, ministers are free to either accept or deny our advice. That's their privilege. But of course, if they deny it and they go ahead with something and it all goes wrong, when we go and inspect, then we'll be reporting that it's gone wrong. So we have quite a lot of influence in the system. We are led by a chief inspector who has to provide an annual report, as your inspectorate have to provide an annual report. And again, that report doesn't pull its punches. So, for example, 8 weeks ago, the chief inspector's report made a comment about a rise in poor behaviour in schools. Ministers didn't want to hear that, but they heard that it was delivered, and they then had to deal with the consequences of that in the run-up to what is going to be a general election. We carry out a variety of types of inspection. All schools are subject to what we call a Section 10 inspection. That is Section 10 of the Local Government Act. All schools have those. Currently, those inspections last about 5 days, and they have a team of anywhere between 3 and 5 inspectors that go right the way through the school. However, like your organisations in the Czech Republic, we are subject to constant reorganisation, and we are going to be reorganised again as from the 1st of April, with the result that inspections are now going to be school self-evaluation, which we then send a team of inspectors in to check that their evaluation is correct. And that will be 2 or possibly 3 inspectors for 2 days. But the difference is, instead of giving the schools 12 to 25 weeks notice of inspection, they will be given 48 hours. Now that's very effective, because you can't disguise things when you're just told they're coming. Ideally, what we would like to work to is that you get the phone call at 3 o'clock in the afternoon the day before we come, because that would give you a more accurate picture of what goes on in a school. So we have quite a rigorous system. As from April, we will be divided into 3 regions. They're going to divide the country into 3. Now, what I think is important in terms of scale that would be helpful for you is there are 8 million children in the English school system. That doesn't include Scotland, Wales or Northern Ireland. So we're just 2 million short of the population of the Czech Republic. That's the number of youngsters we have in our English schools. And as I said to you, there are 28,000 schools. 24,000 are primary schools. 4,000 are secondary schools. Children go to school in the United Kingdom from the age of 4+ until 16, and then they are free to leave school at 16 or stay on for a further 2 years. There is nursery provision, which is available to somewhere in the region of 80% of the population. But most children start school as they turn 4. So when we say that, you have to bear in mind is you have to turn 4 by the 29th of August. That means that somewhere in the region, in a year's intake, nearly a third of the children will be summer born. So they have just turned 4 when they go into the system. So really, they're 3. And that shows itself right the way through our system, right through to examination level, where summer children underperform in relationship to their peers. So we're going to be divided into 3 regions, and they've just taken a pencil and drawn it through the country. So we have North Region, Midland Region, and Southern Region. They're huge. They are huge. We are still in the process of discussing how we're going to make that all work. But basically, we will go back to something we had before Ofsted, where we have districts, and you have HMI that are the district inspectors, and they are responsible for the organisation of inspection in their area, with liaison with the local education authority, with following up the issue my colleague Champak is going to talk about, following up inspections of schools that have failed their main inspection. So through that process, we will gather more information that is fed in centrally to what are called national points of reference. And I'm a national point of reference within our organisation. So colleagues will be feeding back to me on the following issues. I have responsibility for behaviour in schools, discipline in schools, exclusions from schools, attendance to school, the Education Welfare Service, learning mentors and learning mentor programmes, what we call learning support units. These are units in a school where children within discipline are placed for a period of time. Homeschool contracts, aspects of ethnicity and liaison with the police. So that's my area that I actually have to feed back then to ministers and the departments on that support the formulation of policy. As I say, we've inspected all those schools and we use a framework for inspection. There's a published framework for inspection. And in that framework, all the issues of ethnicity, of multiculturalism, as it's referred to in the Czech Republic, and what we refer to as inclusion, are in that framework. So a school has to demonstrate during its inspection that they do the best for all their pupils. So we would ask, if we went into a school that had a large number of Bangladeshi pupils, what is it like for them? So if you went into a school where there were a large number of what we refer to as travellers, but you would refer to as Roma, we would ask a very specific question. What are the outcomes for these children? Every school has a responsibility in law to have a named person responsible for children in care of the local authority. So if you are in public care, that you have to have a person named who has to keep a profile of your progress, and they will be asked in the inspection, what is the outcome for those children? Now, the system isn't perfect, and there are occasions when inspectors don't ask those questions rigorously enough, and they just accept the answer that they're given. I mean, because what the nature of inspection is, you ask questions, then you go into classrooms, you observe lessons, you check children's work, you have discussions with children, you meet with parents, and you put all this evidence together to give an overview. There are occasions when some of our colleagues go in and they say, well, what do you do for traveller children, for Roma children? And they say, well, we do this, this, and this, and they write it down. And then they present that as evidence, and sometimes that slips through. But it does, that, in a sense, doesn't matter because we're inspecting so many schools over a period of a year that an overall picture starts to emerge. We then use that alongside research evidence to give us an overview. As I say, the major focus is on the quality of learning. We look at the teaching, but then we look at the learning of the children. So one of the things we would do, for example, if we came into a school in the Czech Republic, which is, I'm sure, the same as your colleagues do within the Czech Inspectorate, you would take a child's book, you would turn it back 10 pages, and you start asking questions about what the child has done 6 or 7 weeks previously. And when the child sits there and says, you ask a question, and they say, I can't remember, then clearly they didn't learn it, did they? The teacher did teach it. No one disputes that. The issue is, did the child learn it? Because when you go into schools, you can say, do you do this, do you do that? And the teacher says, yes, we do. Well, that's what the teacher did. What did the child learn? How secure is the child in their learning? That's what we're really interested in. All schools receive a written report, and we have sent to the British Council copies of 3 inspection reports, one for a primary school, one for a secondary, and one for a special school. And at some point they will send those out to you, but I'm not sure if it will come in translation. But you will be able to see the nature of an English school report. And each school, at the end of that inspection, has to write an action plan of what they're going to do to improve things. And then this is followed up by the local education authority. Or, if the school fails its inspection, the action plan has to be submitted to the Department for Education and to Ofsted, who then go back and monitor the progress. If a school cannot improve, it can be closed. And we do close schools. The difference between HMI, Her Majesty's inspectors, that work within Ofsted, and some of the people we contract out inspection to, is that an HMI has the right to walk into a school unannounced at any time for any purpose. And if we're not happy with it, then there are a whole set of measures that come into place. If you're a registered inspector that we commission to carry out an inspection, you can only go into the school that you're commissioned to go into. So we actually have quite serious powers. And when we go into a school, our function is not to frighten people. We have a motto You never leave a place in a worse state than you found it. Right? And we always have to remember the teachers have to come back the next day, we don't. But we are very rigorous in what we have to do. We don't ask easy questions, we ask very awkward questions, because we've got, in a very short space of time, to get to real issues. The whole issue of inclusion is locked into our framework, and then on top of that, we have what we call surveys. I think in your inspectorate they refer to them as themes, thematic inspection. We refer to them as surveys. So, for example, one of the things I'm going to talk about later on this morning is the survey that was carried out on the achievement of black children in secondary schools, whereby I'm going to explain to you the methodology. Because what you do is you take a sample of schools having used the database to tell you where the children are. And one of the things that emerged yesterday as we were listening to your discussions, since 1968, every census, every 10 years, you are asked in there, what is your ethnicity? So we know how many people from different groups there are. In the health service, they monitor illness by ethnicity. So we know which groups have the highest rate of heart disease or any other medical condition. We know. Therefore, you can actually focus resources for specific purpose. Your country is in the process of having to think through those issues. But we've had that for some time. So in a sense, it isn't an issue, and it means that we could target down. For example, we have a small, very small Chinese population. But we could identify which are the major schools where they have a population of Chinese pupils of more than 10%, and we could go and do a direct inspection of those schools. And we can do that for any ethnic group that exists. We can do it in terms of special educational need. We can do it in terms of social class, because certain schools have a higher proportion of poor children. So we can automatically identify, and we could inspect within a range. So we could say we will take children at schools within a range of 20 to 50% free school meals. Because in our country, if you're poor, you qualify for a free school meal. So that's an indicator of poverty. And that actually enables us to target quite a tight sample. If a school is inspected and it cannot achieve a certain standard, then there are a series of categories that the school can be placed in by the inspectors. They can say that this school is a school causing concern, or they can declare that it has special measures. Champak, my colleague, is going to take over now to take you through a case study of what happens when a school fails. Thank you.